Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. If you love cash flow and you like diversification and you're even interested in international income, this is the show for you. We're going to talk about perking up your portfolio with specific profit-producing properties today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way to ensure that 2014 is your best year yet? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Creating Your Future, the 2014 Goals Retreat, January 10th to 12th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2014 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me is the co-host, the caffeinated co-host, Russell Gray.
I am. I'm amped.
Yeah, it's we're excited about this. We're going to talk about, again, about agricultural real estate. A few weeks back, we had a guest who talked about agricultural real estate, and I think there's a great opportunity here. More and more, I don't know if it's a particular activator or what, but more and more, we're hearing about and meeting people interested in this very thing. Lots of ways to invest in real estate, lots of great ways to get return. But when we look at one of the fundamental uses of land, it's agriculture.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we did the talk at the New Orleans Investment Conference a few weeks back. And one of the things we said is going into uncertain times, it's really important to cling to what's real. We've been talking for years about the importance of global diversification. We've been talking for quite some time, at least since the meltdown, about what's going on in U.S. monetary policy, really worldwide monetary policy, but particularly our largest audience is domestic, even though we're heard worldwide. But how do you hedge against falling currencies? How do you diversify globally? And if your tenant base is going to be suffering from loss of purchasing power through inflation, and maybe a soft economy, like we've had this jobless recovery, right? I mean, the numbers are up, but we're not creating more jobs, at least in the U.S., not really. I mean, the kind of jobs we're creating aren't the kind of jobs that really are going to lead a recovery. And the question is, as an investor, do I go all into the stock market and speculate on capital gains over which I have no control and then hope I'm fast enough to get to the exit when, you know, everybody decides it's time to get out? That can be a dangerous game to play. You know, Andy talked last week about the idea of using options to hedge some of your risk. But the big thing to me was the opportunity to use those tools to create cash flow. We talked to Paul Maselli several months ago about the concept of using oil in your portfolio and income producing oil fields. When we talked to the guys from Liquid Investments, they were talking that concept of a commodity. And the thing that's great about commodities is they're the first thing to respond to a falling currency because commodities are denominated in that particular currency and they're easy to buy. And so what happens is investors who recognize their currency is under pressure will move quickly. I'm reading a book right now that we picked up, and it was written actually a few years back by Frank Holmes and another gentleman that co-authored it called Gold Watcher. And the foreword was written by Mark Faber. Mark Faber's kind of famous for his doom, gloom, and bust or cycle, I think, his newsletter. But what he said was that when smart money recognizes that the currency is getting weak, they diversify quickly into real estate, into commodities, into metals, and into collectibles. We've seen a big boom in collectibles. Metals is an interesting thing. It's a bigger topic than today, but that's kind of a lot of people think that's a manipulated market. It kind of has two phases. But certainly, you know, real estate has been on an upward trend, and commodities largely have been on an upward trend. And so you think, well, if I could find a way to produce income from commodities, because that's the big slam on gold, right? I buy gold, it doesn't produce income. But if I could find a way to get income from commodities like you would if you owned oil, how could I do that? All that to say, agricultural real estate fills that niche in a very, very unique way. You know, if you own the farmland and your tenants are trees or bushes or, I guess, roots, whatever. I mean, whatever the crop is, that crop can be sold anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter where the population or prosperity is growing. If there's a demand for that commodity and it's a renewable commodity, I mean, if I pull oil out of the ground or I pull metal out of the ground, when I've exhausted that mine or that oil well, it's over. Right? The dirt is just whatever it is. But with a farmland, if it's properly managed, it's a renewable income stream. So it's extremely fascinating as we go into these times because you can combine international diversification, you can combine commodity income production, you can combine the ownership of real estate all in one investment tool. And it's such a unique topic. So I'm very, very excited about today's show because our guest is extremely articulate and really has his mind around this concept.
Yeah, we had a chance to meet David Sewell a few months back and actually had him on the show for a very short segment. We were at the Freedom Fest conference in Las Vegas and met him there and got very interested in what he was talking about from a real estate perspective. And I think you'll understand why when you hear what he's done today. And just struck up a conversation, say, hey, why don't we share that with the listeners? Had excellent response from listeners.
Yes.
And said, you know, we got to get you back on the show and delve a little deeper into it. So what David's business does is put you in a position to own real estate that has active production of coffee beans, trees that grow coffee beans, and the production of coffee, which is a interesting commodity for a lot of reasons. And we'll learn how that works from a real estate investing perspective when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready for adventure and financial education? Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Join the Real Estate Guys radio show for the 12th annual Investor Summit. Returning this year are Rich Dad Advisors Ken McElroy, Andy Tanner, and Josh and Lisa Lannan. International developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raul, and back for his fourth year, Patrick Donahoe will show you how to be your own bank. Plus, making his summit debut, top sales trainer Tom Hopkins, and returning for his second year, the incomparable Peter Schiff. Peter is one of the few people who called the mortgage meltdown in writing before it happened, so come and find out how you can be prepared for the next economic shift. It all begins March 8th in Houston. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more. Get all the details and reserve your spot today. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit or call 888-GUYS-RADIO to talk with our Summit specialist. Spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 12th annual Investor Summit.
Why is it that in every horror movie, there's a pretty girl who goes into a creepy house and heads down into the scary basement? Nothing good ever happens in the basement. What is she thinking? I feel the same way when I continue to see Americans dump billions into 401ks, IRAs, and mutual funds, even self-directed IRAs. On top of that, they continue to perpetuate the massive U.S. banking system by keeping large deposits at banks and using credit cards and other loans for purchases. Don't they realize what's going to happen? More profit for them and less profit for you. Nothing good ever happens in the basement. Now there's another way. Visit our friends at Paradigm Life by going to www.beyourbank.com and learn how to become your own banker today.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. Listen to the Real Estate Guys. They're wild and crazy, but they really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one download podcast on real estate investing. We're happy to be talking today about agricultural real estate and the commodity side of investing. And with us, returning to the Real Estate Guys radio program, let's introduce Mr. David Sewell. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Now, last time we spoke, we were face-to-face. Today, you're on the phone because you're in Colombia, is that correct?
Yes, I am. I'm in the city of Medellin, as it's pronounced here, or Medellin in other Spanish languages in Colombia.
All right. Well, obviously, as we're talking about agricultural real estate, there's agriculture all over. When we had you on the show last time, you were only on for a few minutes, but it was actually fascinating to us and a lot of listeners very interested in what you guys are doing down there in agricultural real estate. So assuming that not everybody heard that show, kind of let's start at the beginning and talk about how you ended up in agricultural real estate in Colombia.
About a year and a half ago now, in the late summer of 2012, the company, which is an incubator company, you might call it, that is interested in Latin American companies, small, growing Latin American companies, was created to buy and export coffee from the 13 coffee-growing regions that are in Latin America, largely located between the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn. While they were doing that, they came across a lot of what we call specialty coffee, high-quality, well-cultivated coffee to be able to supply to the rapidly growing demand, particularly in the U.S., but all worldwide, for what this is called specialty coffee, high-end, high-quality coffee. What they did find is they couldn't find enough of that coffee to buy and support the company and the demand for that coffee all over the world. So they decided to back down the value chain a little bit and started acquiring their own operating coffee farms that were largely commercial quality coffee farms but did have some specialty coffee on them. And through the application of the crop science and capital and modern farming practices, started turning around these farms into specialty coffee farms, which is where we are today, having done three full farms so far.
All right, so obviously everyone understands coffee, and that is certainly a commodity, but this distinction you're making about specialty coffee I think is important, right? If I just go to the grocery store and I buy a big old can of coffee, that's the commercial coffee that people who aren't particular maybe get. Of course, specialty coffee has grown and grown and grown in lots of different places. We've seen it in the U.S. as the various brands sell a premium coffee that is maybe, you know, half pound or a pound of beans that sell for a lot more money and has stronger, bolder, richer your taste. That's what you're talking about when you say specialty coffee.
That's exactly right. It's a perfect description.
All right. So obviously, you recognize the demand. Coffee, interesting commodity to pick, right? Because it's not something that you have to survive. But at the same time, in a lot of ways, people are addicted to it.
I have to have it to survive. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's other people out there like me.
We joke, you know, we fly around a lot. So in the airports in the morning, there's always a giant line at the coffee thing. And I always use this example. I say, you know, if you're at the airport and you see the big line for coffee, you might complain about the big line. But what you never do is say, oh, I'm not going to stand in that line. It's too long. You stand in the line anyway, because it really is a legalized drug in a lot of ways.
Very, very true. The demand is huge, just for coffee alone, but then specialty coffee on top of it is becoming a much more common product, and people are demanding a very high quality of coffee. Many of the stores, like Starbucks and other places, have recognized this and are starting to add specialty coffee where you can identify the coffee right down to the level of who grew it and where it was grown when you're drinking your coffee. So there can be a very good connection with the consumer to the grower, and that's a big, big part of the program that Sima Coffee Farms offers in Colombia, is eliminating the middle people, the middlemen, as much as they possibly can, taking the coffee from seed right to cup, all the way through the value chain, with as few stops in between as possible, so that they can pay the coffee farmer on a fair trade basis the real value of the coffee that they're actually producing, as opposed to the current system, which only allows the farmer possibly 5% of the retail value of the coffee that's being sold.
All right. So all of this is absolutely interesting and fascinating. What we need to transition it to is, how is there an opportunity for real estate investors? And you guys have come up with a really unique way, I think. Rather than just be an incubator that goes out and buys companies, you've created it in such a way that there's an opportunity for individual investors to get involved that is actual, free, simple ownership of real estate. Talk about that, David.
Yes, you can. You can own your own piece of an operating Latin American coffee farm. They come in half-acre parcels, so they're easily obtainable by the average person. You can buy as many parcels as you want. You can only have one, whatever you like. The parcels are titled, as you said, in the name of the owner, either his personal name or an entity, if he so wishes to use an offshore LLC or something like that, or have it put in the name of their IRA account. That's a titled ownership of a half-acre parcel or more of an operating coffee farm that is already income-producing. So we buy those farms, we subdivide them up into half-acre parcels, title them to the individual owners, spend 6 months turning that farm around, and after that six-month period, it takes longer than 6 months to turn it around, but it started already income producing because it has coffee growing out of it already, and usually some of it's pretty good specialty coffee. So we start distributing an income to the owners based on their proportional ownership of the farm 6 months after they join our network.
Okay, so there's interesting things here. First of all, you're buying property that you have title to, and what was surprising to me is you actually, if you want to, can go visit it and see it and stand on it and camp on it, whatever you want. But the primary purpose is obviously that it's part of this growing farm and that there's income derived from the coffee beans that are growing. So obviously the amount of income is going to be dependent upon the yield of the crop and what pricing is and all of that. But now that you've had some experience of doing it, give us kind of the idea, the overview of what it looks like in terms of a return an investor might look to receive from this.
The returns are smaller in the beginning, like everything else. It's a growing commodity, but it does start out with a small return after the first 6 months. The returns are paid quarterly. There's an operating account and income statements produced for every investor owner of the parcels. The distributions are made quarterly. They're calculated in Colombian pesos, which you can continue to hold your returns in if you so wish. So there's some currency diversification here that's available. Or you can tell the company that I want my distribution converted to Swiss francs and sent to my whatever bank account, or converted to U.S. dollars and sent to my home bank in the States, or however you like it. That cash flow starts again, like I said, after 6 months and grows over the time period. Average annual return is forecast at 19%. That's an average annual return over a 20-year period to calculate what's called an internal rate of return or an average effective yield of 19%. It'll grow to be smaller in the beginning. It'll grow to beyond 19% on an annual basis. And as these farms mature in year 10 and beyond, some of these returns can be 35, 40% annually at that point in time, but the projection is averaging 19% overall.
All right, so those are obviously pretty attractive returns. Now, when we're talking about internal rate of return, obviously that can include more than just the cash flows. Are these estimates that you're talking about, David, based on any appreciation of the value of the property, or is it just strictly based on the income?
It is strictly based on the income. It's a conservative approach to the calculation of an IRR, an internal rate of return, but it's strictly based on the income. The future value of the property is projected at zero in the calculation to be the most conservative possible.
All right. Well, that's fairly conservative, saying it's worth zero. But when you think about agricultural land, there's a couple of ways it plays out. Certain crops have a lifespan, and at the end of that lifespan, they're not valid anymore. It doesn't mean the land isn't valid. You might replant, and of course, different farmers plant different crops at certain times because of the nutrients and the soil and all of that. And so that's one way that you might look at the land going down in value. But it's also possible, isn't it, that as the crops are maturing and as you're getting more yield from these crops, that the actual asset value has gone up?
Absolutely. It would be hard to imagine a situation where in 2013 you're purchasing land that 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later has enjoyed modern farming practices for the first time, has healthy soil, has sustainable economic and agricultural operating practices have been applied to it for 10 or a dozen years. Crops have been rotated. Coffee trees have been rotated on a 20% a year basis, so they're not old and they're not in diminishing production, but they're actually young and in increasing production. It's hard to imagine a piece of property like that, professionally managed for you on a turnkey basis, not having an increase in value. Well, it'd be hard to manage any diminishing value.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about that management part of it, because you're buying a piece of real estate. Is there some sort of contractual obligation where that's how they're calculating what they earn? How does that part of the investment work?
You're not required to have anybody manage it. It's an independent real estate purchase of a half-acre parcel of an operating coffee farm that's titled to you. And you, frankly, can do what you wish with it. Clearly, the best and highest use of your capital is going to be having it managed by somebody who knows what they're doing, and a sister company to Sima Coffee Farms, which is called Tierra Cafetera, is a turnkey professional coffee farm management company. You have the option of opting in to have them look after your farm for you on a turnkey basis. the fees that they're going to charge to do that over the years are already built into that 19% IRR, so it will not decrement your return. They'll manage the farm for you. You can opt out anytime you want. There is a first right of refusal for the company to buy the farm back from you at whatever price you've negotiated with somebody else, because we want to keep the farm parcels contiguous and in the network. But it's yours to do with as you wish.
Okay, so it may be that an exit strategy here is, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, you want to sell the property. You have the right to find your own buyer, but the company retains a first right of refusal so that, you know, for the reasons you stated, it makes sense that it would stay in the family.
That's correct.
All right, so let's talk about the way that this works. You're buying a half an acre is the minimum size, but I know that many folks buy multiple acres. Most of the listeners, I'm going to guess, have no idea what coffee farmland costs in Colombia. And I know the prices have gone up a little bit, because that's kind of what happens, is there's more value added. But what range are we talking about for a half an acre of a coffee farm?
A half an acre of an operating coffee farm is available for $11,000 U.S.
All right, so fairly modest investment.
It's about what I spend on coffee every year.
There you go. Well, let's talk about that part of it, because I'm all about the return on investment. But what about the coffee part? Do we get to see any of this coffee?
Well, first off, half acre parcel owner gets 5 pounds of the specialty coffee per parcel per year, shipped by the company to the owner at no cost to the owner. So you're going to be a wash in good coffee just as being an owner.
That's a week's worth for Russ, so that's good. Okay.
Yeah, we get through this morning.
And then you can also visit the farms. And visiting the farms anytime you want, any farm that we have that is tourist appropriate, which is not all of them, of course, but as we develop more and more farms, there'll be more and more opportunity for people to come and stay on their own farm. Kick back and on the balcony and on the terraza and watch the farmers work, pitch in and get down there and take some cherries off the trees yourself on your own farm. That's included in the ownership benefits, and all we ask is that there's a small daily stipend given to the farmer that's hosting you to pay for the food you're eating.
That seems reasonable. All right, our guest is David Sewell. We're talking about agricultural real estate, specifically coffee in Colombia. More when we come back. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Do you know what city was ranked number one on Clear Capital's list of highest performing metro markets just this February? It was Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners. If you haven't heard, Atlanta has just begun an incredible road to recovering real estate values. With an unprecedented demand from investors and a shrinking supply of inventory, properties in the Atlanta market are poised for tremendous growth over the next few years. At Georgia Residential Partners, our mission is to help as many investors as possible buy turnkey, cash-flowing properties in the Atlanta metro area with as little headache as possible. With conventional and non-conventional financing available, we can help just about any investor in any number of situations buy residential properties in this market. Check us out online at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. Don't let this window of opportunity pass you by.
Here's a real estate trivia question for you. What does Elvis Presley's famous mansion Graceland and affordable, positive cash flow turnkey real estate investing have in common? Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee is home to both Graceland and Terry Kerr's Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry specializes in trouble-free turnkey rental properties. Turnkey means Terry finds, fixes, rents, and manages the property. So all you have to do is put it in your portfolio and collect the checks. It's plug and play. That's music to my ears. Call Terry and his team at Mid-South Home Buyers at 888-510-6838, extension 118. Or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com. Hello, I'm Herman Cain, and you're listening to the Dynamic Real Estate Guys. Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. Having fun talking about agricultural real estate, coffee, in fact. Fascinating stuff. Hey, before we get back to our interview with David Sewell, how'd you like to win some coffee? Yep, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize, which today is a pound of the very coffee we're talking about. All you have to do is come up with the answer to today's Real Estate Trivia question, which has something to do with real estate and coffee, believe it or not. As soon as you know the answer to the question, send us an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com, and be sure to include your name and mailing address because we have to send you the coffee. Before I give you this week's trivia question, let's review last week when we were talking with Andy Tanner about using options as a tool with real estates and stocks, and our question was this. In the movie Trading Places, Lewis and Billy Ray, played of course by Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, end up on a tropical island. On which actual island were those scenes filmed at the very end of the movie? The answer? The island of St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands. In fact, St. Croix is the largest of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Here's our question for this week. Lots of places around the world grow and produce coffee, but only one U.S. state produces coffee commercially. Which one? Which of the 50 states is the only one that produces commercial coffee? If you know or want to take a guess, send your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com, and you could be the proud owner of a pound of coffee, courtesy of Sima Coffee Farms, named the only U.S. state that produces coffee commercially. That's today's real estate trivia question, so get your answer in so you can get your very own pound of specialty coffee from Sima Coffee Farms. This is great stuff, and thanks, David, for offering a pound of coffee. Some lucky listener is going to be caffeinated well this show. So we're talking about this idea of investing in a piece of property that's producing coffee, and you're going to make your income from that. Let's delve a little deeper into it. So, you know, there's a range over a 20-year period of 19% annualized, and as it gets further along and more mature, that could be up in the 30%. I'm sure that's got people's attention. But how does it actually work? I'm sure that the money that comes in from the coffee has to be distributed amongst, you know, the grower and all that kind of stuff. Talk about that part of it, if you would.
The company keeps the value chain from seed to cup very close to their chest. They don't have very many middlemen involved. So the pricing that they receive in the retail market for the coffee, when it's sold to the professional roasters and other people, is higher because of the quality of coffee. With less middlemen in it, it can be distributed in higher proportions. More money can be paid to the coffee farmer that grows the coffee. What we do in Sima is acquire the farms. When we acquire the farms, we offer the tenant farmer that we're buying the farm from or who is living and working the farm for the owner, the opportunity to stay on and work for the company as an employee. Paid a very fair living wage monthly, probably for the first time in their lives. We also provide medical benefits, full medical benefits, and pension benefits to those people. So the quality of their life is turned around materially already. When the coffee farm produces the coffee, the operational profits from the farm are simply distributed 80% to the owners of the parcels, and 20% of that revenue is distributed to the coffee farmers themselves, to the pool of farmers who make it all happen for you as an investor and for the people who are enjoying the specialty coffee down the road. So that's the distribution method, how the funds are sent to the farmers and to the owners.
Okay, so a couple things about that. First of all, awesome to give incentive to the coffee farmer because, you know, you hear a lot about fair trade coffee and all that, which implies, of course, that a lot of the coffee business isn't that way. So I'm going to guess that a happy farmer who's being paid well, maybe better than they have ever, is going to do a better job and be excited about getting up every day to work my farm, right? I think that's pretty cool. But also, it sounds like Sima doesn't take a cut at that point. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing. That's correct. 80% goes to the investor owners that have the half-acre parcel. The other 20% goes to the pool of farmers that manage the farms and operate the farms, beyond and above their salary and their medical and pension benefits as well. So it's a good model that really works. How it works for the company is Tierra Cafetera, the management firm, will have the coffee sold, and the coffee is sold, and they participate in the upstream part of the distribution of the coffee worldwide, but the farm proceeds itself, the amount of money paid to the coffee farm for the coffee, is distributed 80-20 on the firm.
Okay, awesome. Because you always want to understand what's driving the company that you're going to invest with, or because it's important to understand. For instance, if SEMA only made a profit when they sold the subdivided acreage, which I'm assuming there's some, you're buying a big farm and selling pieces, so there's got to be a little bit of a profit there. If that was the only place they made profit, there wouldn't be any incentive to make sure that it worked. But obviously, if they're back in the upper chain of the coffee being delivered and closer to the cup, if you will, then there's a vested reason for SEMA to maintain interest in this.
That's exactly correct. And that's why the model is established the way it is, and it's working handsomely in the last year or so. First crops have come off the farms we acquired in early 2013. Those crops were sold for, in fact, 10% higher in value per pound than we even forecast in the projections that resulted in the 19% return. So we're ahead on the numbers there. The farmers got paid an amount of money that greatly exceeded the amount of money that they're getting paid in the commercial coffee market based on the New York, what they call the C price for coffee, for commercial coffee, which is the price that most consumers and frankly, investors see on the crawler on the screens or in the paper and are worried that the coffee prices are dropping so much that how can this business work? Well, that's commercial coffee, not specialty coffee. The demand for specialty coffee is growing at a 20% clip in the U.S., which is already a $40 billion market. So we're able to pay significantly in excess of what the commercial coffee price is to these farmers, making the whole business model a success.
David, we met a few months ago, and we got in a discussion about this. We thought it was interesting enough to have you on the show. Now some months have gone by. I know that you guys have had some good connections from investors, and you've sold a lot of acreage. Who is the typical investor, if there is one, that is looking to this to maybe diversify?
The typical investor is the one that wants to diversify. It's real estate-oriented people who understand the value of a titled ownership of property, cash flow and income, treating the farmer properly, diversifying offshore so that some assets are scattered in other places other than maybe in the domestic United States. Somebody who's looking for currency diversification as well. The income can be in Colombian pesos here. Somebody who wants to diversify their IRA account beyond where they are now, taking advantage of the offshore titled property. Those kind of people are interested, and on top of all that, the person who has an orientation towards the social side of the world, the people who really truly want to help an itinerant tenant farmer who's been starving to death mostly for most of his life to live a better life, this is a way to participate in doing that. It is a very big function of the overall business model to make sure that the sustainable farming means sustainable farmers, and that a lot of people have taken to that concept, and this is one rather inexpensive way that you can participate and help out.
Now, obviously, you mentioned IRAs, so I would imagine that this is the kind of investment that people can use their self-directed IRA for.
That's correct.
Which is, depending on what your whole portfolio looks like, that's a source, but obviously cash purchases as well. I'm imagining there's probably no financing at these kind of prices, or would there need to be?
No, there's no financing available at the current time anyway.
Well, and that also means there's no charges against the land. So again, if I'm thinking that, my few acres is a part of a much larger coffee farm, not sure I want to see there be a lot of liens and charges against other parts of the farm. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And everything's done on a cash basis, and there are no liens, debts, or any other obligations that would be incurred while they're running the farms.
All right. Fascinating stuff. Now, of course, one of the things the real estate guys are big proponents of is going out and we say kick the dirt. So you guys are actually doing some tours and things. It's possible for people to go on a tour, come down there and see it for themselves, wake up and smell the coffee. How does that work, David?
We're actually here in Medellin. My team lives in Panama City, Panama. We work and live from there, but we're here this two-week period to conduct one of those tours right now. It's called the Festival of Lights Tour, and we try to put the tours on around some sort of festivity here in the Medellin area of Colombia where the farms are located. The tours are available. There's four or five tours a year, and you can come and participate on the tour anytime you want, kick the tires and check it all out before you do anything at all with us if you wish. The cost of that tour is $795 per person. If you become a farm owner sometime in the future, that could be refunded to you.
All right, fascinating stuff. I know you've prepared a report that kind of explains all of this, and the last time we had you on the show, we made that offer, but we're going to do that again. And if you're interested in learning more in the specifics of this, you know, if you're working out right now or you're listening in your car or something like that, it's a lot to grasp. So all you have to do is send an email to coffee@realestateguysradio.com, coffee@realestateguysradio.com. You get a copy of the report that David put together, and then also you'll learn how you can go on one of those tours at no cost. That'll be part of what you'll get as you do that. So fascinating stuff, David. We sure appreciate your time today and calling in all the way from Columbia. This has been a really illuminating show in many ways.
Oh, you're very much welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. There's David Sewell from SEMA. More information on that when you order the report, sending it to coffee@realestateguysradio.com. More when we come back, talking agricultural real estate and coffee today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world, and why U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Strong rents, low maintenance expenses, and long-term tenancy equals more profit for you. Sound good? Discover Texas Investor Homes' build-to-rent program in Houston, Texas. Houston was recently named the top job creation market in the U.S., and when you buy a brand new, ready-to-rent home, you get top rents, longer-term tenancy, and a builder's home warranty to keep expenses down. It doesn't get any better than that. To watch a short webinar with all the details, send your email request to buildtorent@realestateguysradio.com, and we'll send you a link. That's buildtorent@realestateguysradio.com, or visit the resource section of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Simon Black from SovereignMan.com, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hopefully, you are thoroughly interested and caffeinated in today's topic. I tell you what, this sounds pretty awesome.
It's really interesting. You know, we did the other show on agriculture. We had to spend quite a bit of time on the commodity itself, which was fascinating. Right? I mean, coconuts are an amazing commodity that I knew nothing about. But I think most people just kind of get coffee right away.
Whether you drink it or not.
Whether you drink it or not, because you see it everywhere. I mean, to your point, in the airports or other places when you travel, I mean, just it's the morning thing. At every workplace, every cubicle village across the United States and throughout the world are people gathering around the coffee room. And the coffee shops in the communities are where people get together. So it's not just a commodity the way a normal commodity is, but it's actually a social phenomenon.
It is. And I think there's the social aspect of this for sure. And at the same time, even though we look at it in the commodity market, in the commercial coffee market, I think everyone understands the specialty coffee area too. It's like the difference between mass-produced beer and microbrew, right? Craft beer is...
It always comes back to beer.
It always does.
You.
Exactly. That's my whole brain is about how, you know, looking at the microbrewery business, the craft brewing industry is hotter than it's ever been. The same is true for specialty coffee.
Yes.
It is not the mass appeal, but it's a subset. And what's interesting to me about this is it is international diversification, right? I don't own any property in Colombia, but I own property in lots of different places, and I'm very interested in it now that we're hearing about this kinds of returns. And I don't know what else you guys are investing in, but 19%, 20, 30%, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the first, you know, the part about the no leverage. I'm like, oh, no leverage. But, you know, 19%. cash on cash. I mean, you know, really, who needs leverage? Usually use leverage to try to get your cash on cash up to that. But leverage comes with a price, and that price is risk. And here you've got a situation where a small amount of investment capital. I mean, how many times do we get messages, you know, on the Ask the Guys thing about how can somebody just starting out get started?
Right.
How can I only got $10,000 or $20,000? What can I do? Well, you can lever up and buy a high income producing piece of property, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm guessing you're not going to have to deal with plug toilets on a coffee deal. You're not going to have to deal with a new roof. There's just a lot of, I think, cost of doing business. It's almost like a triple net lease type deal to me. So I really like that. And then I was trying to think, okay, how could we relate this back to a real estate experience that people might understand? And this really feels to me like the old condo hotel thing. And, you know, sometimes people hear condo hotel, it's got a negative connotation because there were problems.
Well, today we call it managed resort, which is the idea that you have a hotel experience, a resort experience, where the individual rooms aren't owned by a big corporation. They're owned by individuals. You go in and you buy a beautiful condo on the beach that most of the time when you're not staying there is rented out through a hotel management system. And today all the big brands, Hyatt, Marriott, Westin, they all do this. The managed resort idea is where you own the individual asset, but it's managed professionally.
Oh, we got a friend who owns a Four Seasons hotel, and he owns it, but Four Seasons operates it. So it's that concept, is that an investor owns the asset that the operator wants to manage for the cash flow. And it's not unlike owning a rental property and having a professional property manager, but it's just different. I mean, it's different from the, you know, obviously international and commodity. But I think for what we're looking for in stability and being attached to things that give you diversification. I mean, when I'm renting a property out in a marketplace, market selection is really important because the local economy is what hires that tenant.
Yep.
And the guy behind him and the guy behind him. So if we really want to make sure we have stability of income, we have to have a robust market locally that's going to produce the tenant-friendly jobs. And you have to be fairly sophisticated to do that. This is a situation where I see the world is your marketplace because those trees grow a product that can be sold anywhere on the globe. And I love that diversification component. I also love the international component, right? From an asset protection point of view, to own real estate that's offshore. I mean, if you get sued, good luck. I mean, it'd be very hard to repatriate that. It's hardly, you know, a highly liquid type of an asset, you know.
Well, and, you know, depending on how you hold it in an LLC with charging order protection, there's a lot of ways to protect your asset in that case.
Right.
And again, I think that the broader topic of diversification, we talked last week with Andy Tanner about diversification through different types of products. That's what we're going to be talking about on the summit, is not just real estate, but real estate as part of portfolio and how the different asset classes can work together so we can create the strongest possible portfolio, return, and protection of the assets that we have. And so this is a way that you can look at putting something offshore, hard to get to, illiquid, which is good in that situation, and yet providing cash flow. And if you can take and keep the Colombian pesos in Colombia, that opens up a whole nother possibility beyond the scope of today's show. But just one more thing to think about as an investor.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're going to twist David's arm and see if we can get him to come on the summit with us, because I think I certainly want to spend more time with him and spend more time understanding this. I think a trip to Colombia could be in our future.
I think it could be. That's percolating in my mind, that's for sure. and who knows? I mean, you know, we'll see if people are interested in this topic. You know, we were hesitant to have another show about agriculture so quickly after the previous show, but this just sounded like such a neat, different opportunity for a lot of reasons. We thought we did. Now, we should tell you this. We haven't fully vetted this company. I mean, you need to do your research like you would anywhere else. You know, Russ, you mentioned this might be a good starter investment, and it might be, but it could be that as an investor, your very first investment offshore, different currency, might not make sense. So there is certainly a degree of due diligence. So I would say going on a trip makes sense.
Yeah.
You get to see it, you know, up close. We're big fans of that anyway. We're not sterile, sit back in our computer chair investors. We're get out there and kick the dirt and meet the people investors. You wouldn't have to do that, right? For some of our listeners are like, $11,000, well, shoot, why not, right? But if you're thinking about, hey, this may be an important part of your portfolio, then do the research, do the homework, find out about this, because to me, at least at the surface level, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got the report and there is the opportunity to be able to go on the tour. So I think that, you know, my dealings with David so far, and they've been somewhat limited, but everything, he's been very upstanding. I've really enjoyed working with him. You guys could hear, very articulate, really knows his stuff. He's a mature guy.
He's got a big financial background, too, which he didn't bring up, but this isn't his first rodeo.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He's actually Canadian. You might have picked that up a little bit, but spends most of his time now in Latin America. So he's really got an interesting international perspective. And so, again, I'm going to really twist his arm and see if we can get him on the summit, because I think he's going to be a great addition. He's going to have a lot of good stuff to share.
All right. If you're interested in learning more about this, then send an email to coffee@realestateguysradio.com. And some lucky winner today is going to get a pound of that specialty coffee from Columbia. So that's cool stuff. If you haven't made plans to join us for the Investor Summit at Sea, it's time to do that as our deadlines are approaching here. Here's what you do. Go to the Real Estate Guys website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on the button that says Summit, and you'll learn all about the 12th annual Investor Summit at Sea. Basically, we get a group of awesome real estate investors, faculty members, teachers, speakers, and their families together for 9 days. We spend 2 days on land, then we get on a beautiful cruise ship, and we spend the sea days in classes, seminars, roundtable discussions, having lunch and dinner together. On the days that we're in port, we're visiting a bunch of great ports. We have fun. We're doing a big beach party in Cozumel, Mexico this year. We're doing an optional real estate shore excursion in one of our favorite places on the planet, Belize. We're going to spend a day in Roatan. It's a fun, fun thing, but more importantly than that, it's getting together with folks who are thinking about economics, thinking about prosperity, and thinking about how they're going to approach a very dynamic, very changing economy.
You get a chance to condense time frames like nobody's business. You will build an international network of friends and fellow investors. You are going to get a 360-degree view on investing, all different disciplines, international perspectives, and time to really go deep, probably deeper than you've ever had a chance to go in terms of studying investing, because you know, we live in a world where it's ADD. I mean, you know, come here, go here, go there, do this, do that. Everything is quick. Everything is superficial. Watch a 5-minute video. Those things are all great. But every once in a while, it's good to take a big time out and have that summit experience, that big time where you're away from the hustle and bustle of the world and you're totally focused and reinforcing ideas and getting a chance to ask those clarifying questions. To me, I mean, you can lock yourself in a room and watch video after video or read a book or do book studies and all that stuff on your own, which is interesting. But when you get a chance to interact with other people that are similarly minded but have different perspectives, I just can't think of any place on earth that you could go to have this collection of people and this level of quality time with them, which is why we do it every year. You know, it's not a huge moneymaker for us, but it is a fabulous, fabulous experience that we wouldn't trade for anything.
Already, people from more than a half a dozen countries are signed up, and I know we'll end up with more than that. We've got an entire week with Peter Schiff. Who gets a week with Peter Schiff? I mean, usually you're lucky to get 3 minutes with Peter Schiff at a conference. We're going to have him for a week. We're going to have a week with Ken McElroy, one of the premier real estate investors on planet Earth and one of the nicest guys you've ever met. This is Kenny's fifth year in a row of coming on the Investor Summit at Sea. That should be a clue. Andy Tanner, who was on last week's show, is going to be there, and Andy's coming back for his second year. For the first time ever, a hero of ours, Tom Hopkins, one of the great sales guys. Now, why is sales important in all of that? Sales is arguably one of the most important skills any investor needs to possess.
It's an essential life skill. I mean, whether you're looking for a job, trying to recruit a spouse, trying to persuade your kids to build a healthy life instead of a crazy life with all the influences out there, certainly in business and investing, negotiating, I mean, it is an essential life skill. I don't think anybody can get through life successfully without having some degree of mastery in the art of sales.
And Tom is just one of the top sales trainers on planet Earth, so it's going to be awesome to have that. And lots more faculty members, too, and you'll get to see all the lineup if you go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Summit. We hope to see you there. And between now and next week's show, your mission is to go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers. Low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct. Asset protection strategies for real estate investors. From attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton.
Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.